I mentioned, we talk about the stars and history with one guest. And it's not everybody who is a Swiss Army knife of subjects like that. So it's a real treat to have Dr. Larry, and I've now learned to say it properly, Krumenacker.
Krumenacker.
See, I thought I had it for a second there, and then I didn't. Krumenacker joining us to talk about a couple things here. First of all, you're in town, down in this neck of the woods. You had an event today, and I'll get you closer to that mic, too, at Bellingrath, right? And then you're going to be back out there.
Yes, tonight.
All right. And so today you talked about what?
I talked about the Marquis de Lafayette, who came through Mobile and Alabama just about 200 years ago.
Okay.
And why did he do it? Where did he go? And if he did it today, where would he do it? What would he see? What would be different? What would be the same? And how would you follow along?
You know, there'd be a lot of, probably not a lot, but there were people that made that journey, but they didn't write it down to be able to look back at, did they? Lafayette was different in that.
Yeah, the difference between Lafayette's journey and people watching, you know, writing about it then,
right,
versus people doing it then, say in New York or Philadelphia, is that up there they had an established newspapers and journalists and people who were diarists and so on. There were lots of people writing about it up there. Down here, there were four firsthand accounts.
Four.
That's one finger less than a full hand.
And we're going to get into that. We're going to circle right back to that. And then tonight, we're looking up.
We're looking up. We're going to go totally different. We're going to be talking about the sky. Now, I don't know if we're going to have clear enough skies to actually look at the real things, but I'm going to be talking about easier ways to find the planets and also about a comet that we have out there right now that just came up out of nowhere.
Well, so as a professor, these are two pretty different pursuits here, history and being an astronomer.
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
First, the yes part is...
Let me get you closer to that mic, too. There you go.
I'll bring that
there. There you go.
Here
bring
we
it
go.
To you.
And it doesn't want to.
There you go.
There we go.
You bring it to home.
I'll bring
you.
It to
there
me.
There you go.
I'll go to it if the mountain won't come to Mecca. okay. When you study astronomy, you get a lot of history. People don't realize that astronomy goes back a long way.
Just because you got to do the Copernicus and the Galileo.
You have to learn where it comes from. So you get history automatically.
Okay, fair enough.
And if you've done any astronomy, you realize as soon as you look up in the sky, you're looking into the past because everything you see out there...
How old's that light? Yeah.
You know, so that's automatic. But where I grew up, I grew up north and that was Revolutionary War territory.
Right.
History was everywhere, so
sure.
I just got imbibed with it.
Right.
Steeped in it. So I was learning about history all at the same time. History became a hobby.
Gotcha.
And so history was just there, and I just kept up with it.
Well, and so we'll circle back now to the history, and then we'll come back to the astronomy. So the history of this, so you're following, I'm looking at your picture here, 9 days traveling. This is a, I see interstate and cities named on here and everything. This wasn't exactly what Lafayette was looking at. I hate to ruin it for you here, but you got a road here, you know, a paved road the whole way coming in and coming down into Baldwin County. It's a little different than the journey.
Different than what he did. Okay, this is what if he did, it came now 200 years later.
Right.
All right. Back then, he did follow, in a way, the first interstate. Because when he crossed over from Georgia across the Chattahoochee River, he was following, especially here, the old federal road, which was, in effect, if not the first government-paid-for interstate.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the first. It was a road that was created in 1806 to get mail from the East Coast, from Washington, D.C., ultimately, down to New Orleans, which we had only purchased a few years earlier from the French with the Louisiana Purchase. So if the normal route would have been taking mail across the Appalachian Mountains, through various other trails, through Nashville, Tennessee, down on the Natchez Trace, onto a boat on the Mississippi River, all the way down to New Orleans, and then all in reverse to get the answer back. And you're
mm-hmm.
talking about weeks of travel.
So
now we have a faster route.
Yeah, it's better to come this way.
It was better to come this way. You saved a few weeks of time. And sometimes it still works that way, you know.
Right.
But so the federal road is what he came down on when he crossed over here, most of the way to Montgomery. And then when he got to Montgomery and they had the festivals there and he spent 2 days there, comes down on New Tech.
Yeah.
Steamboat.
Steamboat into Mobile. So, and Lafayette at that point, why is he here? Is he a tourist? Tell folks about him. Why, you know, what's his reason for even being down in this neck of the woods 200 years ago?
Okay, we'll back up a second first. Because you know, everybody should know, Lafayette was a Revolutionary War hero from France.
Yep.
Came here, led troops, was Washington's protege, if you will, but effectively an adopted son. Helped bring the French in on our side, negotiated parts of the treaty, helped negotiate with French troops on who did what, and so on. When he went back to France, he tried to accomplish the same thing there. He reduced the French monarchy down to a constitutional monarchy,
well,
and so on.
They cut that thing in half.
Didn't work. Didn't quite work over there. Anyway, so in 1823, after all of that had happened, he's essentially retired. He's a widower. And he gets an invitation from our government to come over here, all expenses paid, to tour the United States on his 50th anniversary of the Revolutionary War. And he couldn't pass this up because it was the scene of his greatest triumphs.
Sure.
So he comes here. He had to actually sneak out of France to do this because, once again, they didn't want him to go. This is, you know, can't do that. But he got out. Comes over here. And he's meanwhile touring mostly the New England states, Middle Atlantic, Northern Virginia, and so on. And he's got a full year to do all this, all expenses paid.
So the taxpayers of this fledgling republic are saying, thank you for what you did. Here's your big tour.
That's right. And okay. It helped the government actually like this idea because it helped bind the country together after 50 years, the War of 1812, and so on. And we have a whole bunch of new states that are feeling a little bit out of it because all the elder sisters, as they called them, the 13 original mm-hmm. states, they don't feel quite yet bound in on all this. Now, in December of 1824, after some of this touring, Washington, he's wintering over around Washington, D.C., Alabama's governor steps forward on this. Israel Pickens sends him a letter saying, why did you come and visit us? We're on the other side of the Appalachians. We're a new state. We're only 6 years old. Come and visit us. And this is an idea that hadn't yet occurred to Lafayette. Why don't I've never seen anything on the other side of the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I go visit all those other states?
Which used to be the Southwest, right?
The old Southwest.
Yes. People talk about going to the Southwest. All right, when we come back for the break, we'll pick this up. And remind folks, too, the title of your book, again?
9 Days Traveling.
Okay, and it's available where if somebody says, I got to get this?
In Mobile, it's available at 5 different places. It's available at Bellingraph.
Okay.
It's available at the Renaissance Hotel gift shop.
Okay.
It's available over in Fairhope at Page and Pallet. In downtown, it's at the Haunted Bookshop. It's also available at the Mobile Bookseller on Government.
There you go. That's 5, right?
Sorry?
That's 5.
That's 5?
That's 5.
Yeah. We'll go on from there.
All right, we'll come back. If we think of any more while we're at the break, we'll bring those back when we get back from the news. Y'all stay right there.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Online at FMTalk1065.com. Top news stories of the day, online opinion poll, questions, schedules, podcast, all one place. Grab it at FMTalk1065.com. And I'm looking at the book here. I'm going to talk more about 9 days traveling. A guest in the studio, Dr. Lawrence Krumenacker. Did I get it that time? Krumenacker?
Close enough.
Close enough for it. Yeah, and that's crumbs and crackers, right?
Right.
Krumenacker.
Bingo.
There we go. About the book 9 Days Traveling. We're talking during the break here, too. This is a guidebook where you're taking us through in modern times this route that when here comes Lafayette, and Lafayette's going to come down by invitation to the state of Alabama, how he gets here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what that looks tells us what it was and what it looks like now. And you just said during the break, you said, Sean, a lot of it looks the same.
Yeah.
What?
Especially on the eastern part, when he crosses over the Chattahoochee River.
Right.
I mean, the landing point hasn't changed a bit. It's still the same point on the Chattahoochee River. You just slide in with a canoe today. You could do it.
Right.
And then you literally walk for the first, few hundred feet on the old federal road. It's still there.
So these things that are 200 years ago are still there to physically put your hand on that.
Or your feet.
Yeah, or your feet, or both. But and then you followed this trip, of course, from Montgomery coming by that new technology of the steamship coming down to our neck of the woods.
Right, except, of course, we don't have one to worry about. There is no traffic on the Alabama River.
That's right.
So I take us by car from place to place to get you to the different towns that he stopped at, try and find what's left there. Of course, going down the river, he stops at Selma, Cahaba, Claiborne before he gets to Mobile. There's almost nothing left of any of these places. Selma, there's just a little in the soapstone bluffs that says that's where the steamboat landing was, right there, that little blank space, that's where it was, that was it. He said hello, down the road, there he goes.
Cahaba was a lot, I mean, it's nothing now but history, but it was a bigger deal. I mean, it was
a big deal. But when he got there, it was the last year of its being the state capital.
Okay, it was in its past golden age.
It was the last year of its golden age.
Okay.
And so he went there, now it... You know, some people call it a ghost town. It's really more of a skeleton town. There's mm-hmm. no buildings, but you can still see the streets.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So he keeps on. He gets down here, and you said you have found places here that were described in his travels that people hadn't been able to find. You now put your finger on places like where in our area? Where in Mobile?
He comes in, and now you have to remember, in 1824, Mobile's a tiny little place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bunch of buildings and a few streets on a bluff overlooking, you know, the Mobile Bay, basically.
We're on the banks of the river, yeah.
Right? So it's like about, you know, 6 blocks wide and maybe 10 blocks long, and that's it. So there's not much to the town. The bluffs at Royal Street are the end of it, and he has to get up there, and there's only two major wharfs that a steamship can land on, mm-hmm. and the only one really left and functional is the one on Government Street. The end of that wharf... is over by the parking lot, the free parking lot by the Mobile Convention Center.
Okay.
So if you want to start where he starts, you have to stand at that free entranceway and look up to see the incline going up to Royal Street. There was no landfill there.
Right.
That was all water and muck and such, and he had to go up there. Now, the story is the city wanted to give him 3 days of festivities.
Yeah, we like our parties down here.
They do, and they wanted to do it. This was the big end of the trip for him, it was supposed to be. And he was exhausted, and he was already 4 days behind his schedule. And he said, no.
No party.
Nothing. He didn't want to do anything. And they finally negotiated, we'll do an afternoon of stuff, because he was exhausted.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a tough life having to be on a festival every day and give speeches, hear speeches. You know.
Right.
I'm sure you know how it is. So he goes up there, and there's a big arch that he has to walk under, and they welcome him. And he comes up, and the city are folk are meeting him on what's Government Street and also where Mardi Gras Park is.
Okay.
Now, the fort had been mostly taken down by that point.
By Gandhi.
Yes.
Yeah.
But also the area where Mardi Gras Park is was starting to fill in with new buildings. Hadn't been completed in that fill-in yet. So that's where the only place was that was big, that they could fill it in and they could meet him. He then says he's taken into an ornate building that had been constructed for him for special political people to meet him and all that. What was left in that area could do it. It was called the old Spanish House, Government House. And there's people saying...
Spanish Government House.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where was this? And there's three candidates for that. One says it's right there at Royal and Government. And there were government buildings there, the Customs House, because when you came off the wharf, you had to come in there and register your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that there in Spanish, it had one there, but that wasn't exactly the kind of ornate building you want to bring in. Somebody special, right? Then there was a place that people mentioned down at Conception and Conti. And correct me if I say them wrong.
No, that's right. Okay. That's correct.
But that's way on the far side of town, and it's a little tiny government thing, you know? Like,
okay.
Nothing big there. Why would you do that to your most special person? Makes no sense. Why would you take them all the way to the far end of town and then bring them back? That's stupid. Well, there's nothing there. So, you know, it makes no sense. The third place I found on a map that used to connect to the fort at one point with a special alleyway. And that connects up at Government and St. Emmanuel.
Okay.
The old Spanish Government House, which lasted till 1835. Well, it was no longer a government house, but it was still there, and it was kind of ornate. It was the Comandante's house.
Okay. That's where they...
And that's where they probably took him into, because there was no place else.
We read more about this in the book, and we just have a minute and a half left here, so I want to ask you about tonight's presentation at Bellingrath. What time?
7:30.
Okay. And you're going to...
First of all, we're going to have everybody who's there. We're going to make a model solar system and have everybody move the way the planets do, set it up for the way it'll be tonight, so you can see how to find the planets the easy way when they line up a certain way. And that way, when you look for those lineups, it'll be so much easier finding a planet than just saying, well, it's over there in the western sky.
Right.
Well, what does that mean? Well, it'll be a lot easier this way. I'm also going to talk about Comet Neowise, which came out of nowhere, and you can find in the sky its naked eye brightness, though with the haze and such. And
sure, but if we had a clear night, you could see it.
Clear night starting next week. Right now, it's kind of in the morning dawn, but it's transitioning over into the western twilight over there.
How close is this going to get to us?
Oh, it's going to get to us when I'm 30, 60 miles, a million miles away. It's not going to be anywhere near dangerous, but it's bright.
So we should be able to see it. Non-telescope.
But being that it's low, binoculars will help you find it first, and then you can glimpse it.
All right. So come out tonight, get that education. And once again, the name of the book?
9 Days Traveling.
And you said if somebody wanted to check it out, you also got a podcast out there, people that want to talk astronomy, even for people like me, they're just, you know, regular civilians.
Yes. The podcast is called The Galactic Times.
All right. Good stuff. Thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
And we'll hopefully get you back on here soon.
My pleasure.
All right.